And Brother Jason McKelvey is going to minister tonight. And just determine you're going to listen for the voice of God and all that's said. Amen. Amen. Good to see everyone again on this Wednesday evening. And let's just believe God's going to crown it by meeting us in these altars in just a little bit. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Hurst. I appreciate the opportunity that in these times between Bible studies that Brother Hurst gives fellas like me a chance to preach. And it's been a long time since I've preached here. But I've been still getting a little practice. Sundays, I've not been here some Sundays, about once a month. I've been going to the Mary Scott Nursing Home, preaching with Sister Norma and Brother Kendrick. And, you know, I know it's she can testify there that God's been moving, but you know what I'm excited about is how that God has been moving here in our services, here at our church. And I'm thrilled to know that God still is concerned about his people, that God still has a plan for Union Road, that God still wants to pour out his spirit like his word says, and that is up to us if we will just let him have his way. I don't know, usually, I don't know if it's like this with you, but usually when I'm with somebody at work and we're talking and having a conversation, and sometimes there's not very much material or conversation pieces to talk about, the weather will come up. People will talk about the weather and shoot the breeze about how that Ohio seems to have all four seasons all the time. I don't know about you, but literally it seems like in the last week to a few days, it's been like that. I looked on the thermometer inside my car on Saturday. It said 106. I don't know if it was a little off or not. Could have been. But then I looked on it this morning. It was in the 50s. It was like a 50 degree difference. And if anything funny sounds from my voice, it's due to that. I was out Monday on the holly, and I was cleaning up the yard that the storm had messed up on Saturday night. Spent all day with my dad chainsawing trees, and I was out in the wind, so I'm a little hoarse and feeling a little under the weather, but I'm going to give God my best. And I want, if you have your Bibles with me, turn to Matthew 27. I'm going to read a few verses, verse 62 to 65. Matthew 27. The Bible says, "Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that the deceiver said while he was yet alive that after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead, so that the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, Ye have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as you can. And so they went, and they made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch." You can be seated. I'm going to preach the thought and title tonight, You Can. You Can. You know, while man with all his power under Pilate's direction in this story couldn't keep Jesus in the tomb, he said, make it as sure as you can. From my study of this story, the description is that there was a stone in front of the tomb, but more difficult than what we just know in that picture is that the tomb was sort of downhill and that the stone was rolled into the sealing process. It wasn't just in front of, but it was kind of rolled into to where it fell its weight into place, making it all the more difficult for this stealing the body of Jesus to come to pass. And while with all the power that man had to make it as impenetrable as possible and as impossible to break into, there are some things in life that man can do that God is helpless in the face of it. Now, don't fall out with me here about this statement, but I want to preach tonight that you can. Number one is you can exercise power over the will of God. I've been praying, I've been seeking the Lord for this message tonight, and I've been trying to do what Brother Hurst said on Sunday when he was talking about the way Hannah prayed years ago and how that we need to seek God. God, I need you. God, I need you. And you know, the Lord, it seemed today on my way home from work, it was like the Lord was speaking to me. You know, there are things that are my will, and there are things that I would do that if you would just quit preventing it, it would get come to pass and it would happen. And I began to think a little more broadly about that idea, about maybe things that are in your personal lives, about maybe things that are in this church that I wonder, could it happen? Could God really make this come to pass if we would just get out of the way and quit exercising the power against God's will? You know, man was created with the power of choice. God said he would make it to where man could choose whether to serve God or serve the devil. In the garden, he said that it was his intention all along that Adam and Eve was to be able to enjoy the garden, to have peace, to have tranquility, to have that perfection all of their days if they just served him. And in the midst of that creation, he made it possible that he gave Adam and Eve the choice. Everything is available except that tree, and we all know what happened. They exercised the power of choice to go against God's will. And against God's will, they were cast out of the garden and no longer able to enjoy that perfection. But whatever might be God's will for your life, whatever it is God has in your destiny, you have the power to thwart or prevent it from happening and doing as you please. I've seen, growing up all my life in church, I've seen how that there has been an obvious message or an obvious direction for a young man's life or for a young lady's life. And it's so clear that God wants to use them in the ministry, and God wants to take their potentials and direct it toward heavenly things and a life of service to the Lord. And I've seen how that people have decided, no, I'm not going that way. Brother Brian, I know God wants me to go in this direction, but no, I'm not going to. I'm going to seek to do my own thing. I'm going to make my own decisions. And when I'm ready, I'll let God have me. You know, I thought about this. You know, even because Jonah was swallowed up in the whale and coughed up on the bank, and the story says that after he cleaned himself up, he went and did what he was intended to do all along. Do you know that even though the whale sped him on the bank and he cleaned himself and he did finally go where God wanted him to go, do you know even that had a potential that he could have still cleaned himself and said, no, I still ain't going to go? Brother Hurst, he still could have said, I'm still going to go my own way. Even that extreme situation, he could have made up his mind and exercised his choice against the will of God. Yes. Though man could not bar the tomb in this story with the stone in front of it, he still tonight has the power to bar the door of his heart and keep Jesus on the outside. It's a sad situation when you're in a service and it seems like God and the Spirit of God is orchestrating it for one specific person to get the help that they need, and they leave the same way they came. How that it seems like the table of God is spread and it's all decked out like the song says, and all you have to do is come and dine. All you have to do is sit up to the table, scoot up and take your place and partake of God's blessings. And yet how time and time again it happens in an opportunity like tonight where somebody could have a specific need that God wants to meet and they could leave with it unmet. Jesus says in the Bible, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if any man will open the door, just simply open the door, he will come in. As badly as Jesus wants to be in every man's heart, he's helpless to do so and enter that heart unless the door is opened and the invitation is to come in. God wants to make himself available for everyone. But are we willing to open the door? Are we willing to let God's will be over our will? Number two is you can give your influence to the devil and the enemy. You know, though we may not realize it, our lives have an influence two ways, either for the good or for evil. There's no place of being in the neutral. You can't wake up one day and say, you know what, I'm not serving the devil, but I'm not gonna be a witness either. I'm just gonna sit and be idle. Just make it through today and just survive. Do you ever feel like you're just surviving? Not on either side. Well, there is no in the middle. There is either for the side of the Lord or for the devil's side. You know, I know that in services like the services we've been having, where messages in tongues have been going forth and where God has been speaking and where God has been laying out a specific word for the church, I know that there's times when the spirit of the enemy will get into your mind and speak those voices and say that, no, it's not for you. No, you don't have to worry about that word. It's for somebody else. No, you've got plenty of time to make up your mind whose side you're going to be on. No, don't bother yourself right now. You can decide later. Well, let me tell you something tonight. The Holy Ghost wants to let you know that you have an influence and that there's somebody always watching you. I remember growing up in Sunday school class, Aunt Debbie, when you would teach in the teenage class to us, and you would always say to us that, kids, you may be the only Bible someone will ever read. And the devil is going to try to convince you that the way you're living is right. He's going to try to tell you that you're doing all right. There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to for you to listen to Brother Hurst as he preaches. That's for the next guy. That's for the next girl. You're doing fine. You're okay. It's okay to be comfortable. And where you're living at is just right. Somebody is always watching your example, though. Number three is you can actually outrun the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is God's agent in this world to convict sinners and win them to Christ. But I've seen it time and time again growing up in services where the Holy Ghost is making himself available, making himself poured out to whoever would receive him. And you can see it, almost like the gripping of the pew and the knuckles getting white. People running away from the conviction that's on their heart. Running away from the reach that the Lord has laid out for that person. I've talked to people at work, tried to witness to them about the Lord, and I always get almost the same line and same excuse. I don't like going to that church. I don't like hearing that preacher because every time I go, I cry. Or every time I go, I feel like I'm so wrong that preacher's pointing right at me. I feel like every time I go to that church that somebody has told that minister about my life. That somebody gave him my book to read. And those excuses are because they're under the conviction of the Holy Ghost. And that they're under the weight of needing to get their life right. And they're running from the Holy Spirit's grip. You can be saved from sin now, though. Despite what the enemy is lying to you, despite what words and voices come into your mind that would lead you astray from what God has in store from you tonight, you can be saved from your sins right now. The Bible says that Jesus' blood cleanses from all sin. I've heard testified from the young people all the way up to the senior saints that no matter how far you've went, no matter how far you may be drifting, no matter how deep you may be sinking, that Jesus' blood can reach you. That if you feel like you're on your own, if you feel like you're so passed about with a dark cloud of despair, that despite where you are, no matter how deep the pit, the hand of God can reach you. You can be saved right now tonight. Jesus waits with open arms for all who would have him come in. He wants to receive those today. The message is still the same as it has been for years, as it has been for years on past, is that the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. You can live a life of separation and holiness. I felt impressed to preach this point to the youth tonight, that you know what, despite the pressures, Brother Jason, you don't know what I have to face every day. You don't know the pressure I go through. You don't know when I walk through that door what I'm going to have to face and what I'm going to have to listen to. Well, I'm here to preach to you tonight that God can save you, but the same God that can save you is the same God that can keep you. The Bible says that His grace is sufficient for you. Music, would you come for me tonight? I'd like the church to stand with me. I was praying tonight in the middle room for this service, praying that this opportunity, that it would not pass us by without a chance for someone to meet with God. I believe right now I need to stop. I need to invite somebody to be honest with me. I may have went over these points real quickly, but be honest with me. You're here. You're somewhere here in this sermon. You've been doing your own thing and you've not been letting God's will in your life. Or maybe you've been given your influence and you haven't even been realizing it. But you've been giving your influence to the enemy to use your words or your thinking. You don't even know that you're thinking that way. You don't even know you're responding that way. Maybe you're running from the Holy Spirit's grip. And He's been dealing with you for a long time. Well, the message is clear. You can be saved from it right now. Maybe you've been struggling. All your life you've been in church, but maybe you've been struggling with living the life of separation and holiness. Maybe you've been just second-guessing yourself. I feel like all I'm doing is just living on an experience that I had years ago. I don't even know why I believe what I believe anymore. Maybe you're just making it. One day at a time, just making it. And you need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit and the touch of the Lord on your life. I don't know which one you are, but I feel somebody's here right now. And you need to step out. Come to this altar and let God have His way. I already said it, but His arms are still stretched out, waiting to receive you unto Himself. I can vouch for the Word. It doesn't lie when it says that I've tasted of the Lord and He is good. I was praying tonight and the Holy Spirit came over me in the middle room when I began to pray. Like Brother Hirsch told us Sunday night, I need you. I need you. You see, when you've had something so sweet like Jesus, the other things just don't supply the taste and the craving and the desperation that you get when you haven't had God for a long time. You know how it is. I was out Monday and I kept telling my dad, my mouth is so dry. I've been out here for hours and I'm just not able to get enough water to drink. He said, you're dehydrating. And I feel like there is some Christian here tonight that's dehydrating spiritually. I don't know what you face when you go to school. I don't know what you go through when you step through the doors of your job. I don't know what pressures and what angles the devil comes at you. But I know this, you can be kept by a sufficient Savior. If you'll step out of your pew right now, come down to this altar. God will meet you. The church will have people to meet you. And you can find what you need. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. I can't get up in the morning without you. I can't go to bed without you. Jesus, I need you. I can't supply for my family, and I can't pay the bills without you. I can't put a roof over my family's head without you. I can't take a bite without you. I can't take a drink without you. You are my supplier. You are my protection. You are my way maker. I can't get in my car without you. I can't drive down the road without you. I can't clock in without you, and I certainly can't clock out without you. Jesus, I gotta have you everywhere I go. Well, tonight you can. Right now you can. I don't know what your struggle is, but He does. And His arms are stretched open right now. I want you to step out.